This is tape recording number 6309C18, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 18th of September, 1963. This tape is 83 minutes long.
Well, now, this is the 18th of September. What planet? AD 13. And solar system. Now today I'm going to talk to you about the service facsimile and the state of the PC and a St. Hilaire method of moving in with a service facsimile and straightening up a case. Now, you have to know where the stops are on the organ before you can play an organ. This helps a great deal. You have to know where the keyboard is. And with the new electronic organs, you have to know where the switch is. And a few things of that particular character. So you just sailing in on a case with great nonchalance, you see, and not turning on the switch of the E-meter, and not finding out anything about the case's PT, and having no safeguards of any kind whatsoever, and not knowing what you're doing anyway, might be rather adventurous. In fact, I think every psychiatrist that has been along this ground is very adventurous. Never was so much done by those who knew so little. This situation, however, stems from lack of technology and lack of know-how. Now, this know-how situation with regard to the mind is very, very hard to arrive at. There are so many suppositions that just walking through a forest of favorite beliefs. And when you realize that every case and every practitioner in the field of the mind would be concentrated on one aspect of existence and then dedicated to not observing existence except through that one evaluation of existence, you see at once the tremendous limitations imposed upon the discovery of anything about the mind, and then secondarily, getting any application of any truth known. You see that this then would be a self-defeating proposition. Not only are we given a vast panorama of data, any one of which can be a favorite aberration, not a truth, but an aberration, don't you see, in this vast forest. But then we ask people who themselves are concentrated upon favorite data, you see, substituting for themselves to handle this situation, and you get a difficulty. You get randomity right there. Now let's compound the randomity and realize that knowledge about the mind means freedom for life and beings in this universe. Once you recognize that as a principle, you will see that anyone who is dedicated to total enslavement or the dwindling spiral or caving anyone in and caving everyone in and so forth are immediately not in favor of total knowledge of the human mind, but quite on the contrary, are in favor of great ignorance. And there's two ways of accomplishing that ignorance. One is simply a denial of information, which is practiced, but sometimes cannot be fully enforced. For instance, the Catholic Church for many, many centuries made a great thing out of ignorance as wisdom, you see. Everybody had to be good and stupid, and so forth, and whether you're Catholic or not, you'd have to admit that that was a modus operandi of the existing church over a period of about, I think it must have been 800 years or something like this. It's almost their total devotion was to ignorance. Well, it doesn't go just that far. That sooner or later gets interrupted. But there's something that can be substituted for total ignorance, and that is false data. And false data is probably a much more effective means of denying freedom. One of the ways of going about false data, for instance, the fellow wants to get out of the woods, and there are two trails, and one trail lies much deeper into the woods, and the other trail goes out onto the plain. And all you have to do is put up a sign at the crossroads and point to that trail which goes deeper into the woods and say, this way lies freedom, you see, and you've promptly trapped a lot of people. And that is such an easy action that when it is added to the fact that everybody is sort of mired down in their favorite fixated data, this can become quite a vicious morass. The trick is then to find the exact mechanics, the exact precise mechanics, which apply to all minds. Now, the moment you have found the exact precise mechanics which apply to all minds, you can then get a broad agreement on the situation, because they override the minor data on which the people are fixated. In other words, they also would have this broader perimeter of data, and they'd recognize the truth in the broader perimeter of data. But the moment that you move even a 1/16 of a millimeter sideways off of what is generally applicable to all minds, you're again into the particularities and opinions. So therefore, if you had a broad sphere of knowledge which was true, and these were all high generalities, and everybody would agree with them, frankly, it'd be very easy to bankrupt and upset that whole operation by taking it, and by false relay. You see, bad instruction, and a bad relay of the material, and dropping out a datum here, and a vital datum there, and substituting something or other, you eventually could then again affect a sort of a slavery out of that information. In other words, even if you arrive at the technology, you still have the task of safeguarding the technology, because once more, it can easily turn and become a false technology. These are the various ramifications that Scientology has had to deal with over a period of many years. And the solution to the difficulty is results. Because once the technology is applicable so that results occur by reason of its application, then, of course, you don't get any arguments with these. You don't get the intrusion of a great deal of crisscrosses. So the whole contest has been not for the achievement of certain truths, we have had many of these for years, but a workability so that we attain an application of those truths toward a rapid release of attention from favorite and fixated data, and in that wise, then the truth is carried out by a demonstration that if it is used, a greater freedom is attained. And we have to look at how long is the attention span of a pre-clear. Well, in actual fact, as far as Scientologists are concerned, their attention span, their willingness to go along and try in this direction is terrific. But the casualties which occur along the lines occur because the body of knowledge has not arrived in an individual in the release of his attention from his favorite data. Do you see that? This fellow is sure that all horses sleep in beds. Now, it isn't only that he has this as a fixed datum. He also has this as a total datum. And any data that does not contribute to horses sleeping in beds, he will discard. You see, it's not just that he's got this one idea. He's got this idea which then bends all idea toward this idea, and the truth of any existing situation is whether or not it fits this idea fixe. His idea of separating truth from falsehood is whether or not it fits his idea fixe. Now, if the thing is false, it doesn't fit his idea fixe, and therefore should be thrown away. And if it is true, it does fit his idea fixe, and therefore should be retained. All of which is rather interesting, because if his idea fixe were horses sleeping in beds, he would only listen to mental technology that affected horses or beds. Therefore, the early discovery and the long dormancy arising in a greater use and application of the service facsimile means a great deal to Scientology. Means a very great deal to Scientology, because you're now dealing with the one reason you can't get across a general truth to a preclear. You're not trying to teach this preclear anything, but you're trying to show this preclear that by reason of what you are doing, you get a release of attention so that the world looks brighter and he can look further and he feels better and more powerful. Now, if you do not attain this in a session with any given PC, over sometimes it can be a very long period of time. But if you do not eventually attain this, you will eventually lose your PC. Sometimes it lasts only an hour, and sometimes it would last for several years. Now, the degree that the PC will sit there patiently has direct ratio to how fixed his idea is. Now, the PC who will sit there for years waiting for a greater truth does not have his attention so involved with an idea fixe, you see, that he cannot absorb the greater application of the material which he is presented with to process. And he will get perimeter benefits even though his idea fixe is not touched. He gets these perimeter benefits solely and totally because he is not that fixed. Do you see? He is not that fixed. Now we take this bloke who says that horses sleep in beds, and that is the total modus operandi of life. We have to look at the totality which this can become. This is the 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, 1st dynamic. See? All sex is answered by the fact that horses sleep in bed. The way to run a family is to have horses sleep in beds, you see? God is actually a horse sleeping in a bed. Okay? This has really got to be a fixed datum. Now, to the degree the datum is fixed, he is not able to explore the perimeter of his ideas and therefore cannot see a greater truth. In other words, he's more entrapped and more imprisoned than the next one. Now, that is what is known as very bad mental condition. It's how fixed this one idea is. Now, when you're dealing with neurosis, you have somebody who has an idea fixe which only occasionally arises to wreck his life. And he can see a little more beyond that. But when you have psychosis, you have only the idea fixe. Only. Just as I just told you, God is a horse sleeping in bed. You'll find the institutions are full of these blokes. Now, that's it. Now, that scares you when you start thinking about the fact that you, of course, have a service facsimile that is an idea fixe and so forth. All right. It's degree, then. It's degree. Your attention isn't so pinned down by that that you can't examine a greater truth. You wouldn't be sitting here this very minute. So immediately you're lifted out of the ranks of the insane and the neurotic. See, just by definition. It proves itself quite self-evident. Now, you can see some wider idea. But let's take Mamie Glutz or somebody, the cashier at the local service station, and we try to explain to her that beings are beings and that each one of them has a mind. Let's just go that far. See? Now, if she's got a very furious idea fixe, one kind or another, such as all men are alike, this doesn't fit. So therefore, you become false. To her, you are false. Do you see? Then any datum which you utter on the broad perimeter of life, if it doesn't add up to all men are alike, is a false datum. You could have an elephant stand in the middle of the room and say, that's an elephant. Well, it's not a man, so therefore it's a false datum, don't you see? So that you're indicating that an elephant is standing in the middle of the room, and there is an elephant there, you're indicating a false datum to her. And therefore, you're saying something foolish. She knows this. How does she know this? Well, she knows this because, naturally, all men are alike. One fine day, you happen to tell her, a lot of men are aberrated. In fact, most all men have aberrations of one kind or another. You're in there cooking. You're now true. This one accidental datum goes by and latches onto the service facsimile. Just one. Now you spake truth. And perhaps from there on, everything you utter, she will say that is true. But once more, it's without evaluation or inspection. Now get the degree, then, the degree of fixation upon an all-resolving datum. And then you have the degree of enslavement of the individual. These things actually are not degrees of knowledge or ignorance, but simply degrees of freedom or slavery. It is secondary, entirely secondary, that truth is truth and falsehood is falsehood. It's whether or not it leads to freedom or slavery that establishes your final amount of truth, because fixation is only upon falsehood. You can never get fixated on truth. That's quite a fascinating thing. Truth is an all-freeing mechanism. If it is not all-freeing, then the truth, to some degree, must be limited. Either limited in its conception, or limited in its reception, or limited in its application. So that you can say that anything you were worried about must have a falsehood connected with it. There's always a lie connected with anything that you are having a hard time with. You go out and you can't start your car. And you fool around with it and fool around with it and fool around with it trying to start the car. And you finally realize that it must be the carburetor. So you have the carburetor fixed. And you still can't start your car. Obviously, you conceived a falsehood about the car. It couldn't have been the carburetor, because after you fixed the carburetor, the car still didn't run. This is easily demonstrated in the field of mechanics, you see, because things run or don't run. So there was a falsehood connected with your analysis of what is wrong with the car. Now you say, well, it's probably the spark, and you fix the spark in some way, and the car runs, therefore that must have been the truth. Well, we can't observe to that degree people running or not running. Their motors don't purr or stop, and they appear to be all right when they're not, and they appear to be not all right when they are. And very often an auditor has been very embarrassed at the end of session to sort of start apologizing for what a terrible session it's been and get the whole load in his face on the subject of taking away the PC's gains. Well, I had a fine session, marvelous session, found out a lot of things, had a terrific time, you see, and so forth. As far as the auditor's observation was concerned, the PC was sitting there quite glumly and hadn't had much of a session. All right, another way an auditor's looking at the PC, and the PC is smiling sweetly and so forth and so forth. And actually, PC's practically spun in by the session, don't you think? Now, you can make that observation of the PC a modus, well, a cause here. Let's look at how far we have come in this direction. You are actually now in a position to determine, without the faintest difficulty, whether it was a good session or a bad session for the PC without asking the PC. Now, that's rather terrific. This doesn't look like much, don't you see? But that's pretty terrific. If the PC got an acceptable amount of tone arm action in the session, the PC, by session end, might have even been roughed up by something, but still would have had a gain and will be fine the next day. But the PC who did not get tone arm action in the session will not feel good at session end, no matter what they say, and the next day will probably feel terrible. One session, no TA action, PC bad off. Now, that doesn't look like much. That doesn't look like much. That looks like a datum which you now know and which you're living by and auditing by, and it just doesn't look like much. Actually, there was more wisdom in that discovery than there's been in the former 50,000 years of thinking man. Because it immediately and directly took out of the realm of inspection worsening or improvement as a result of treatment. There's no opinion about it now. We don't have to depend on the auditor's opinion or the PC's opinion. There's no dependency on that at all. Did you get tone arm action of an adequate amount? All right. Then that PC's going to feel good at the end of session, and the PC's going to feel better the next day. You didn't get an adequate amount of tone arm action, the PC's not going to feel good at the end of session, and not going to feel better the next day. No matter what the PC says. Now, once in a blue moon, you can turn off a somatic, and the PC feels nice about the somatic going off without getting a great deal of tone arm action. Without getting a great deal of tone arm action. But you watch that PC during the next 48 hours, and exactly the same result will occur. I mean, we haven't stepped sideways from the basic data involved in it at all. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting. Therefore, just on that little grounds alone, we must know something about the mind and be able to do something about the mind, which is in excess of what has been done about the mind. Look at the tininess of what I am giving you here, you see. That's hardly anything, you see. But that truth will hold up. That truth will hold up. You say, well, it's a mechanical truth. It's an application truth. It's this kind of a truth. But nevertheless, it'll hold up. As you go along and audit, you'll find out that that truth holds up. In fact, you're finding it out right now. You've sat there over a stuck tone arm for 2.5 hours. You've looked at the end of session. The PC's been going groan, creak. And it hasn't been going too well. And if you cared to look at the PC, a few hours later, you find the PC sort of caving in various spots. PC be nattery to you the next session, that sort of thing. By the time you've gone 3 sessions without any tone arm action, you will start wishing you had never started auditing this PC in the first place because the reactions are going to be rather extreme. In other words, this will follow out a general observation. So therefore, we must be dealing, where we're dealing with the PC, in certain principles of action. Those principles of action are also very elementary. They fall back immediately upon the idea fixe, the stable datum and the confusion. And it must mean that all confusions are there, and therefore all masses are there, because they are held in abeyance, so far as observation is concerned, and will never as is, by a stable datum. A stable datum, then, prevents observation of the environment or these masses, and therefore accumulates masses. A stable datum is a dam erected across the river. And with that stable datum firmly in place, no water is going to flow. Now, what is wrong with the mind? Well, it must be that a stable datum was adopted in lieu of inspection. A person ceased to inspect. For some reason or other, he fell back from inspecting, fell back from living, fell back from being anywhere, and just let everything go to pieces. He says, well, I'll put this stable datum there, and the devil with it all. Hell with it. He either said, I'm incompetent, or I'm bored with it, or I want to be elsewhere, or something of the sort. He said something. But he still put a datum there to substitute for his own observation and his own coping with life and the situation at large. And at that moment, he started to get an accumulation of confusion. Because you can write, I eat pie, on a piece of paper and put it in the middle of a bake shop. And it won't do a thing. It won't bake any pies. It won't buy any pies. It won't sell any pies. It won't do a thing. You can put bake shop over the door, so that people will know that's where the bake shop is and start handing out pies and selling pies and doing things like that. And you have handled a confusion just to that degree. But the moment you put bake shop in the middle of the place and take the baker out, you haven't got a bake shop. That's pretty obvious. Well, when the Thetan did a bunk and left an idea where he was, after that, no confusion gets as-is, but on the contrary, rather develops at a high rate of speed. You get more and more confusions and less as-ising. And eventually, this develops what we call mass, mental mass. Once you shake up that stable datum, whether you find the exact stable datum or not, once you shake it up by finding a cousin datum to it or finding something in its perimeter, you have taken some bricks out of the dam that is lying across the river, and water is going to start to flow down that river. And as it flows, it tends to wipe away more and more stable data. And true, as in any hydraulic works, you're going to get more flow and more widening of the hole the flow is going through, the more flow there is. You've got to start the flow flowing. Now, how does the stable datum become so fixed? It becomes fixed by the very thing it's supposed to confront. It gets fixed by the confusion it's supposed to handle and doesn't. And the more it is in place to hold back the confusion, the more confusion batters at it. So the more accumulation of confusion you get around the vicinity of this stable datum. It's something like twirling a bowl of taffy or something like that, twirling a fork in it. You're just going to get more and more taffy on the fork, don't you see? Because it is there. If it weren't there, you weren't going to get any. Now, it might be there to remedy the confusion. Actually, it accumulates confusions. And you get more and more accumulation of confusion, and therefore more and more mass, and more this, and more that, more and more eradication, and less ability to inspect and communicate on the part of the individual. And finally, the whole house gets full of these things, and the guy has got no place to move anymore, and he sort of sits there, and he himself is one of these things, and you can't find the PC because he's just another stable datum, he knows. And man has gone the route. Man talks about the brain when he talks about the mind. And if you want a commentary, on a state of mental technology, just look for the degree that the thinkingness or beingness of the man is considered to be mass. And the more a being is considered to be mass, the lower the technology extant will be found to be. Why? They're just dramatizing the stable datum and the confusion. So you look for modern science. Modern science says, man's an animal. See? Man is an animal. And he's a brain, and electronic impulses go this way and that way, and that causes thought. What have you got here? You got a brain substituted for the being. And if all mental technology believes that, what kind of condition must those practitioners be in? They're in the condition which you see them in today. That's pretty grim. They're hard people to have anything to do with. Now you wonder why they're hard to train. And they are hard to train. And one of these fine days you'll be training them. Just remember that their whole orientation has already added up to a tremendous confusion, which has used a brain as a stable datum. So you'd run a process like, tell me all about the brain. What decisions have you made about the brain? You're going to get tone arm action. And all the charge of the former confusions, which have been stopped by false data, is going to flow by on your e-meter tone arm. And the next thing you know, they have enough inspection ability to learn. And that's why they're hard to teach. That's all, because all the knowledge you're handling them, they do this with it. You say, now there is the idea of a flows. And when a flow flows too long in one direction, it tends to get stuck. And this is the way they receive this datum. Let's see. A flow flows too long. Brain. They're talking about blood. This is a discussion, then, of the causes of coronary thrombosis. So they write down coronary thrombosis diagnosis of. Get the idea? What's holding this? Well, how come? How come there's no inspection? Well, because they are even depending on their own brains to do their inspection for them. You imagine a Thetan getting so lazy that the brain is going to inspect everything for him. Well, now this, then, is actually just putting your attention on the limitations of beings to the recognition of truth or falsehood. And that recognition is limited in direct ratio to the amount of fixation upon a stable datum. And that's the degree of limitation. Very important principle. How then can an individual who is totally boundaried and bound in and totally fixated, and he himself is a stable datum by this time, he's no longer a living being, how can he be expected to get anywhere? What can you do for him? Well, you think, let's see, there's two approaches here. You could take a datum of enormous magnitude, and you could hold a gun on him, and you say, if you don't believe this new stable datum, we will shoot you. I'm not now talking about an unused method. See? You say, Heil Hitler, or you'll once be talking to the Schutzstaffel. That's a substitution of a datum for understanding. You'd be talking to the Schutzstaffel. Probably. Patriotism rises on every hand. See, everybody says Heil Hitler all the time. And eventually the nation goes down in defeat. Why does it become defeated? Well, there's nobody there stopping any confusion or handling anything at all except a stable datum known as Heil Hitler. Mussolini's empire went the route. One of his boys was always expected to call Rome if he had to make a decision. Now, when the Allies first went into Sicily, they had to appoint some of these blokes back into civil positions. First, they appointed a whole new batch and found out they'd appointed the mafia into total control of everything. And they had to reverse this and get some of the old fascist officials. And they said the only thing wrong with them was they couldn't think for themselves. They always had to call Rome to know what to do with a piece of paper or something of the sort. And the lines were real busy. But that empire, too, went down to defeat. So this method of holding the pistol or the sword or the fist and saying, accept this stable datum or else, and so forth, has a level of workability, and it is used, but normally ends up in greater slavery and certainly less effectiveness. Can be counted on to wind up with less effectiveness, less IQ. And we made a study in Johannesburg, inadvertently, but made a study down there of a bunch of papers that came through from school children. Now, we had one school that was tested from one end to the other down there in the test department. Was quite interesting to see the deterioration of the IQ of the child. I think the highest IQ that we measured in Johannesburg was a 7-year-old boy, if I remember rightly. I may have this data wrong. He had an IQ of about 200. That was about the highest IQ we had around there. But studying the school at large, as they had progressed from class to class to class to class, you saw a deterioration of their IQ. Well, that was an interesting commentary on the school, because the school was never asked to inspect anything, never asked to understand anything, but they had to accept this as a datum, never inspect it in any way, shape, or form, and let it stand as a substitute for themselves. Of course, you got a deterioration of IQ, right? Now, there'd be a whole new level of education if you said to somebody, look this over very, very carefully and decide what is true about it and what is false about it and what is workable and what is unworkable. That's a whole new zone and area of education, and a very interesting zone and area of education. But you see at once what limits it. With everybody fixated on his own special idea by which he's going to tell rightness from wrongness, that as a totality can't exist. But it's another idea, you see. Now, this would be another method of going about this, and that would be to free up people's ideas so their perimeter of inspection increased, and having increased, let them inspect the data which lies before them. Therefore, you have a sort of a cross of these two schools of thought. You lead them up with a certain disciplined action that finally shows them their idea fixe, inadvertently, not even intentionally, but just leads them right straight to that. That then, knocked out of the way, shows them a greater perimeter of understanding, and you could lead them forward continuously to higher and higher levels of understanding and to total freedom. Because remember that the individual is trapped to the degree that his ideas are fixed. You're actually leading any person who is not clear, then, out of a morass of entrapment, not out of a morass of ignorance. And he's trapped to the degree that his ideas are fixed. Therefore, it is of the greatest importance to you to find first and fastest the idea on which he is the fixedest. That's very important then. And that would give you the speed of processing. That determines the speed that processing is done at. It's how fast can you find the idea fixe and free the individual for a broader perimeter of inspection. Exteriorization, even the state of OT, depends upon bringing about greater states of freedom, not greater states of wisdom. This is an important differentiation, because the wisdom will take place anyway. But by concentrating on the wisdom, you are all too prone to fall over into the idea of the implanted stable datum. But if you think of it in terms of freeing his attention, you then lead to freeing the being. The only thing that can trap a Thetan is his attention. That is all that can trap a being. Stone walls do not, definitely. You have a situation here where an individual is totally untrappable, completely and utterly untrappable by anyone except himself. What traps a being is his unwillingness to confront things which are not interesting to him, or to back out of situations in which he has lost interest, or to move off and go his way, but still somehow or another be responsible for where he was. Various combinations lead to this situation. Well, we are studying now, how does an individual fix his attention and then substitute for himself, or for thinkingness, or for something else, some inanimate postulate. Joe was here, you see. Here he is as a Thetan, able to contest, confront, and handle any of the confusions in his direction, see? And actively doing so. Now, he says, I have an unconscious mind that does all that. How's he trapped himself? He says, this is an unawareness area which is going to handle these confusions. Steen trillion squillion years afterwards, Sigmund Freud comes along and finds the unconscious mind. Well, actually, the unconscious mind would be that totality of stable data which are holding back that totality of confusion, which the individual is no longer aware of but is still doing. Well, so much for freedom and slavery. That's all it amounts to. It's freedom and slavery. The individual's fixed attention and so forth. Now, of course, the individual can go to extreme and extraordinary limits. They say, well, you are the auditor and I'm depending on you utterly as my auditor to free me, and therefore my idea is fixed on you, so therefore I ought to be able to go off and self-audit myself and so forth, because it's very bad to have my attention fixed on you as an auditor. Well, that's strictly ding, 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 here comes the wagon. You're not part of his stable data. You're part of his environment. There's a slight difference. You are freeing his attention, not entrapping it. There's a difference.
This lecture is continued on side 2 of this cassette.